Purport. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 35.
Ekopyasau rachayitum jagadanda kotim yat shaktirasti jagadanda chayayadantaha andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
I worship the personality of Godhead Govinda, who, by one of his plenary portions, enters the existence of every universe and every atomic particle, and thus unlimitedly manifests his infinite energy all over the material creation. To create this cosmic manifestation, Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, expands his external energy and thus enters everything in the universe, including the atomic particles. In this way, he exists in the entire creation. Therefore, the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in maintaining his devotees are transcendental, not material. He exists in everything as the cause and effect, yet he is separate, existing beyond this cosmic manifestation. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 4.
Maya tatamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matsthani sarvabhutani na chaham teshvavasthitaha.
The entire cosmic manifestation is but an expansion of the Lord's energy. Everything rests in him, yet he exists separately, beyond creation, maintenance, and annihilation. The varieties of creation are performed by his external energy. Because the energy and energetic are one, everything is one. Sarva kalva idam Brahma. Therefore, without Krishna, the Parabrahman, nothing can exist. The difference between the material and spiritual worlds is that his external energy is manifested in the material world, whereas his spiritual energy exists in the spiritual world. Both energies, however, belong to the Supreme Lord, and therefore in a higher sense, there is no exhibition of material energy because everything is spiritual energy. The energy in which the Lord's all-pervasiveness is not realized is called material. Otherwise, everything is spiritual. Therefore, Prahlad prays, Ekastvameva jagadetam, you are everything.
Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sachivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. We continue with the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Narsinghadev. And every verse is something that causes astonishment. How can a 5-year-old boy speak
such deep philosophical truths, not by rote, not mechanically, but out of realization. 5-year-old children usually are very restless and frivolous and playful, and you don't expect that they will speak with such deep conviction and realization. So we can understand that Prahlad Maharaj is a recipient of unbounded grace of the Supreme Lord. No one can pray feelingly to Krishna. No one can actually perform devotional service of any sort feelingly, sincerely, genuinely, without the mercy of the Lord. Even in Dhruva Maharaj's case, we see he was also a 5-year-old boy. But when the Lord touched his conch shell to Dhruva Maharaj's head, then Dhruva Maharaj produced an outpouring of tremendous devotion and philosophy. In this verse, Prahlad Maharaj is making a very important point. And what a brilliant purport Srila Prabhupada has given here. The conclusion or the essence of this verse, as stated by Prabhupada in the last line of the purport, is, therefore Prahlad prays, you are everything. So what does this mean? This could be misconstrued. It could be misunderstood. You are everything. It means that God is a source of everything, that there is nothing outside of Krishna, there is nothing independent of Krishna. Everything is included within Krishna. Krishna means his form, his expansions, his energies, everything. So therefore we can say, God is everything, but everything is not God. This is an important point. God is everything, but everything is not God. God is everything because everything has come from Him, and nothing is separate from Him. Because it's God, or God's expansion, or God's energy, or the expansion of God's energy. And the energy and energetic are one. In that sense, we can say that God is everything. Whatever you can think of, whatever you see, everything is part of God's energy. So in that sense, God's presence is all pervasive. It's everywhere. There is nowhere where you can say that God doesn't exist. So therefore, God is everything. But then why is not everything God? Because everything is God's energy. And although there is a oneness between the energy and the energetic, there is also a simultaneous difference. If we do not understand this distinction and we simply have one half of it, that God is everything, and we don't also simultaneously understand that everything is not God, then we may make the mistake of taking any object and worshipping that as God. There was one famous philosopher in India, Prabhupada referred to him on several occasions, who said that God, everywhere there is God, so therefore you can even worship a buffalo as God. That was his famous line one time. So anything is okay because it's all God. Yes, God is everything, but he is to be worshipped in certain ways. You can't take the microphone as God because it's God's energy and worship him as God and offer arati and everything. There are authorized manifestations of the Lord who are specifically there to accept our worship and our service. For example, we have the deity. The deity is the Lord's authorized form to accept our service. Srila Prabhupada in one place gives a simple example of a post box. A post box is the authorized box of the mail service in which you place your letters. And if you do that, then the letter, you can be assured that the letter will reach the desired destination.
But there may be so many letters, boxes around in the country. You can't put your letter in any box and hope that your letter will reach the required destination. So this is the analogy or the example that Srila Prabhupada gives. So we can also understand by one or two more analogies about the other main point that Prahlad Maharaj makes here in elaboration of this one principle that God is everything. He says it was the Lord who existed before creation. It is the Lord who exists during the creation, and it is only the Lord who exists after. There is nothing else that is in existence before, during, and after. And this is one of the famous Chatushloki verses, the four verses, nutshell verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam also. The creator of the universe, Brahma, having been born on the lotus flower, looked around him in bewilderment because he could not figure out the source of his existence, the cause of his birth. He knew that he was meant to create the universe, but he had no clue of how to go about it. And what was everything that was around him? He perceived the lotus, and he went up and down the stem of the lotus, but he still could not understand. And then, somewhere nearby, he heard the two syllables, ta-pa. Ta-pa means austerity, tapasya. And these are the golden words for those who are the Paramahamsas, austerity. So he heard these words and was intelligent enough to understand what he was supposed to do. In other words, knowledge of what he was supposed to do would not come without austerity. Ability, knowledge, all depends on austerity. So Brahma situated himself in penance for 1,000 years of the demigods. And because of his non-duplicitous penance, the Bhagavatam says, the Lord revealed the entire Vaikuntha world to Brahma, even as he was sitting on the top of the lotus in meditation. And Shukadev Goswami describes the wonderful experience that Brahma had. He saw all the Vaikuntha lokas, the planets, in the spiritual world. He saw the four-round form of the Lord in each of these planets. And the Lord was not alone. He was accompanied by his innumerable loving associates. And they were enacting wonderful pastimes. Brahma could see the paraphernalia and everything else that was existing in the spiritual world. He saw how the Lord was being served and worshipped by his loving devotees. And then the Lord appeared before Brahma. And he said, Brahma, I'm very pleased with your penance. And therefore, I will award you perfect knowledge of transcendence. And then he took Brahma's hand and shook it. So shaking hands is not entirely an unvedic concept. We generally fold our hands and offer our obeisances. But Brahma, the Lord himself shook hands. How do you do, Brahma? How are you? He shook hands with Brahma out of affection, congratulating him. Brahma, congratulations. Sadhu, sadhu. You have done well. Your penances are perfect. I am very pleased with you. And then the Lord said, I will give you some knowledge which is very precious. And then he spoke the four verses which are popularly called the Chatushloki Bhagavat, the Srimad Bhagavatam in the four nutshell verses. And then Brahma, when he further spoke this knowledge to his disciple Narad Muni, he expanded a little bit. And so did Narad Muni when he spoke to his disciple Vyasadev. And then Vyasadev spoke to Shukadev Goswami, his son, who then further elaborated it. So with Shukadev Goswami's elaboration, the Bhagavatam has become even sweeter. Shuka means parrot, and when a parrot actually tastes a fruit, it is said, with his beak, then the fruit becomes sweeter. So in any case, This verse, these four verses are considered the essential verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Aham eva sameva agre nanyat yat sat asat param pashyadaham yade tachya yo vashishyeta sosmyaham.
My dear Brahma, it was I alone who existed before the creation.
Aham eva asam agre.
Agre means before the creation. It was only I who existed before the creation.
I, who am equal to the, who am the same as the one who is beyond cause and effect of this world.
It is I alone who exist during the creation. And it is I alone who will continue to exist after the dissolution of this creation. In other words, it is Krishna and Krishna alone who is truth.
So this is a very deep statement actually.
So the Lord's existence prior to and after the existence of the material cosmos is an important point to understand. Let's take one or two analogies to understand this better. The Bhagavatam also gives the example of a spider weaving its web. Now the spider weaves the web by secretions from its own body and then is aloof from the web. Some insect comes along, a fly comes along and gets stuck in that web. And the more the fly struggles with its eight or nine, whatever number of hands it has and legs, the harder it gets bound. So similarly, the Lord, with his energies, has created this web of the cosmic manifestation, which is Maya, which is his illusory potency, and living entities like us come flying along and we get stuck. And then the harder we struggle, the more we flap our hands and wings, struggling, prakriti sthani karshati, struggling against the stringent laws of material nature, the harder we get bound. It's only when someone comes along who is liberated and then frees us, then we can be free. So this is one analogy. Another example we can see is the example of the potter and the pot. Now the potter takes some earth, some mud, mixes it with water, and then fashions it into a pot. And then he uses the potter's wheel to turn it around. And then by continuously working on this pot, then he shapes it just right. Now after some time, the pot breaks down. And then it mixes with the earth again. Again, the potter, you know, mixes the earth and then makes a fresh series of pots. In India, in one of the states, there is a famous song, which roughly translated into English would mean, the title of the song is The Mad Potter. And what it means is, they just imagine, what kind of potter is this who creates a beautiful pot? And then after he's created it, he lets it be for some time and breaks it. Again creates another pot. Again he breaks it. Again creates it. Again breaks it. What kind of mad potter would do this kind of thing? So of course this madness here is spoken not in a derogatory way, but in a kind of a devotional way. In the sense expressing bewilderment at the inconceivable way in which the Lord does His things. Who can understand His ways? Who can understand His purpose? Why He creates this universe, destroys it, creates it, destroys it, an unending cycle that goes on like this. What is this all about? It is bewildering. He alone knows His purposes. Bhishma also says the same thing to Maharaj Yudhishthir at the time just before he's about to leave, that the plans of the Lord and His desires are inconceivable. So in any case, the point that is being made here is that it is Krishna alone who exists always, before, during and after.
And in a purport to this verse, Aham Evasam Evagre, Srila Prabhupada, quoting from the previous acharyas, emphasizes the point that the first of the Chatushloki Bhagavat verses clearly demonstrates that the Lord is a person. He has individuality. And he has activities. He has paraphernalia. He has devotees. He has an abode. And in furtherance of that point, he gives many, many verses from the different scriptures. The Mayavadis, or the impersonalists, they basically say that the Lord is not a person. But Prabhupada, in this purport, and also here, explains that even though the Lord is all-pervasive, he doesn't lose his personality. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani na chaham teshvavasthitaha. In the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, I am all-pervading. I am pervading this entire creation. Everything is in me, but I am not in them. What does it mean? Prabhupada explains this by saying that the Lord is all-pervading by the medium of his energies, inasmuch as a king is all-pervading in his government in all the departments. But it doesn't mean that the king is personally present in every department. Also, because the king is all-pervading, or the Lord is all-pervading, let us say, it doesn't mean that he loses his personality. Everything is resting upon the Lord, but the Lord retains his perfect personality and his individuality. Om Purnamadha Purnam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. He is the complete balance. He is a complete whole in all circumstances, before the creation, during the creation, and after the creation. So this is the point that's made here. Another beautiful point that Prabhupada makes in this purport is about the difference between the material energy and the spiritual energy. He says, I'll quote, both energies, however, belong to the Supreme Lord. And therefore, in a higher sense, there is no exhibition of material energy because everything is spiritual energy. The energy in which the Lord's all-pervasiveness is not realized is called material. Otherwise, everything is spiritual. What a beautiful explanation. So the energy in which the Lord's all-pervasiveness is not realized is called material. Not realized implies consciousness. If I am conscious that there is nothing separate from Krishna in this existence, then nothing is material for me. But if I am not conscious of this fact, if I am not Krishna conscious, then everything is material. In other words, the distinction between material and spiritual is not a fundamental one. It's a difference of consciousness. And therefore, Prabodhananda Saraswati has said, Vishvam Purnam Sukhayate. This material world, I see this world is full of happiness, contradicting every fundamental tenet we read when we become devotees. Dukkhalaya Mashashvatam. This is a world of misery. And then Prabodhananda comes along and says, no, this world is full of happiness. Because his consciousness is like that. Because he sees the connection of everything to Krishna, his heart is full of devotion. So therefore, this is the distinction between the spiritual and the material. It lies in the eyes of the beholder like beauty. Whether something is material or spiritual determines on our consciousness and whether we're using it for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the microphone. That when the microphone is used for Krishna's service, then it becomes spiritual. It is spiritual. But when we use it for something other than Krishna's service, then it's material. So in this way, Prahlad Maharaj is making many important points here. So we'll stop at this point for questions and answers, because it's a verse that could be elaborated upon more.